Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is our car care show. Dan Burns in studio today. Steve Thompson sitting in for Denny Long for one more Saturday and Sunday. Denny returns next weekend. Dennis Matuzak is our producer in studio today. And good to see you, Dan. And we've got a hot, humid stretch. And this has really been a theme. We talked about it a week ago. This is going to test particularly those air conditioners that aren't working like new.
You know, there's not much else to talk about with when it comes to your car than the heat, is there, and the air conditioner. And, you know, you try and get by because air conditioning is a luxury. It's not something you need to get your transportation needs met. But when you hear a forecast like the one that we're hearing for this long-term, hot, humid stretch, it's pretty challenging not to take it in and get it fixed.
I remember my grandpa, my mom's dad, he didn't like the heat at all. He despised, you know, anything above 80 degrees and a dew point above 60. He just didn't. And I remember when I was a kid, we generally didn't have air conditioning in our cars.
Right.
But my grandpa always had air because he said, I'm not going to sit in traffic and drive to work in the heat. You know, so, you know, going way, way back when he had air conditioning, when it was relatively rare.
Yeah.
It was a luxury item.
Yeah, it really was a luxury item. And I don't know, things have changed and we're all used to it now and in our homes and in our cars. And so it makes the heat, you know, more tolerable. That's for sure.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But it does require service, and it certainly is keeping Lloyd's Automotive busy this week and last week and next week fixing air conditioning.
Yeah, I'm sure, making sure it's in top shape.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I really didn't know this because I thought, you know, the cold is really hard on car batteries, that, you know, it's the cold that causes car batteries to fail. But after my daughter went to school in Arizona and I had not one but two rental vehicles over 4 years down there, the batteries fail. And I would call AAA and they'd take care of it and I would get reimbursed because I would rent wheelchair vans.
Right.
So I wasn't renting through a typical agency. And they'd always take care of me and reimburse me and all of that sort of thing. The AAA guys would say, oh, yeah, I mean, the heat is just really, really tough on batteries.
Yeah. And
you find that at Lloyd's as well?
It's true, yeah. And in fact, the days of our busiest times are now when it's hot, not when it's, you know, when we had the polar vortex, it's certainly busy.
Oh, sure.
But not like the old days. In the old days, we had to take the phone off the hook by 10 in the morning because you just couldn't field any more calls and you couldn't get any work done because you were too busy telling people, I can't help you. And that's just not the case anymore. It's the cold weather is they've figured out cold weather for cars, and cars work great in cold weather, but when it comes to the heat, they still struggle. And, you know, another thing too is on a car, so many of the electronic components are inside the passenger compartment, which is a good idea in that it keeps it dry and safe and all of that. It's not exposed to the elements. Bad news about that is when you park your car out in the sun in a parking lot on a really, really hot day, that engine or the passenger compartment gets really hot. And we all know that, you know, when it comes to our computers and all that sort of stuff, if they're fans aren't working or if the components aren't kept cool, that's really hard on them. They don't work well. And the same is true with cars. So, yeah, heat's a bugger. And it's something that we all – not much you can do about it. I mean, we have to park our cars and it's hot outside. But, you know, they're supposed to be designed to handle the heat, but not always. It's really hard on them.
By the way, our number on the program, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Same deal for our text line, 651-989-9226. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive on fabulous Grand Avenue in St. Paul, is joining us on our Car Care Show. Denny Long away for one more week. He'll be back next Saturday. Once again, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Let's go to the text line. We have an 04 Yukon XL. And about 4 years ago, had a new engine put in. Now the original transmission has a whiny sound to it. We keep up on the service. What could be going on?
Well, a whiny transmission is usually the pump. You know, it's got a hydraulic pump inside there, and that hydraulic pump is starting to make some noise. But it's also on an older, especially GM product like that, it's common. And so I would not consider that a catastrophic failure at this point. The noise is there, and it's real. One thing that you can do is check the condition of your fluid, and if you haven't had your fluid serviced in a long time on that vintage of a car, that's probably a good idea. But like I say, I probably would not rush right out and get a new transmission until you start experiencing some symptoms. But see how it goes.
Yeah. And 04, we're coming up on 16 model years.
Yeah.
I think 04 is being, wow, you know, that, okay.
It's pretty new.
And not so much. Well, that's 16 hard winters,
you know,
as
what?
Well.
I'm with you. I still think of that. You know, anything newer than 2000 feels new to me. You know, like, oh, that's a pretty new car. And that's not so true anymore, is it? I guess as I age, I'm losing perspective on time.
You know what's funny about it? When I was younger, I by necessity had to drive old cars with a lot of rust and a lot of warts, and things didn't work. And then I got to a certain age and I said, I'm not doing that anymore. I want to drive new cars. And then I got to a point where it's like, I don't really like making payments. As a result, I have my 08 Silverado with well over 230,000 miles on it, and it's just fine.
Yeah, well, I walked by your truck this morning on the way in, and it's just fine. It looks just fine. And
yeah, it's starting to show a little rust here and there. Yeah. And you know what? I don't care.
Well, if the AM radio works, right, and the air conditioning works, you don't need much more.
Air, heat, radio.
Yeah, right.
The windows are manual.
Yeah.
So the locks are manual. There's no carpet to clean.
Right.
Yeah. It's got the rubber.
Yeah. It's a work truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just fine.
Yeah. It's just fine.
It's all good.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You've learned to accept life.
Well, and you know, once again, radio, air, heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all there. All right. Another one from the text line here real quick. Car overheated and lost all coolant. Drove short distance to the garage, replaced a broken plastic coolant bypass elbow with metal elbows, replaced the radiator cap, system was tested, gurgling sound, so air still in the line. What could be going on here?
Well, I think that also is a GM product that we're talking about. They didn't say that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, by the way, I'll follow up. An 04 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Yeah. It's a common thing. They put these plastic elbows into the intake manifold, and then over time they deteriorate and break, and the replacement is metal, which is a good idea. But they're what they're talking about is getting it full of coolant again, and it's really hard on those. We actually have an adapter that we put on the coolant reservoir or on the radiator that raises the fill neck by several inches, maybe even a foot. And it's just an adapter you put on the cap, and then you put a funnel. It's a funnel that goes onto that, and then and then you fill that funnel with coolant. And by doing that, of course, that becomes the highest point on the engine.
It is a gravity feed,
right? It's a gravity feed, and the trick is over. You know what you should do now is if you don't have that, or you don't have any way of accomplishing that, what you need to do is start it, fill it up, let it cool down again, and go through that process several times of warming it up and cooling it back down and getting more coolant in it. Shut the engine off before the coolant that you put in has boiled over. But in that process, you'll get it full. And that's what you need to do. That's why the gurgling is happening, because it's not full of coolant.
Yeah, and they said they need to go out of town, so yeah. They better get that full.
Today's the day.
Yeah. Make sure there's coolant in there.
Yeah, and quite honestly, if they can't do it, if they bring it into the, just drive it up the block to the shop, and somebody will help you with that. It's a simple process.
All right, quick break. We have more on our Car Care Show. Dan Burns in studio. Here's the phone number and text number. Keep this handy. It's good for all our programs here on the CCO. 651-989-9226. 724 here at CCO officially now. 725. Dan Burns in our Car Care Show. Denny Long is away. Steve Thompson sitting in. Denny returns next Saturday. 73 degrees here in the city. We'll have an update on the weather coming up here at 7:30. Let's go to the phones on our Car Care Show. Ken in Minneapolis. Ken, you're on the air.
Thank you. Dan, I used to have an old Dodge with a 33-gallon tank, and when I had a couple of gallons of old bolt gas left up at the cabin, I just dump it in the tank, and everything was fine. But my 2000 Toyota 4Runner with a 18-gallon tank didn't like it as much. And I'm getting a check engine light that points to the MAF sensor and the oxygen sensor. My question is, will time just clean that out, or do I got to go in and replace something?
You mean, so what you did is dump...
I'm sorry. So what you did was dump some old gas in, and ever since then you've had a check engine light? Oh, we lost them. Well, I'll assume that that's the case. And if that is the case, that is what I would do is, first of all, I wouldn't do anything until you burn burn through that tank of gas and put a fresh tank of gas in and burn that halfway through and see what happens. The one thing is with the mass airflow sensor, I don't see what that has to do with the quality of gas so much. The oxygen sensor, certainly, some sort of contaminant was in the fuel system, and it certainly could affect the oxygen sensor and wreck that. But I don't see what the mass airflow sensor would have to do with that. But at any rate, if the car's running fine, if the check engine light's not flashing, then I would take a slow approach to it. If in a couple of tanks of gas it hasn't straightened itself out, then you're going to have to take it in and get some help.
I'm going to throw something out on old gas, and this goes to small engines. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can concur, but I've had a push mower, an old snapper for 25 years. I have a snow thrower that's 21 years old. And the one thing I do is never keep old bad gas. I use fuel stabilizer, and I've never had any fuel system problems. It just seems to me, and I've got a neighbor friend down the street who works on a lot of small engines. People leave bad gas in these things over the winter or over the summer.
Yeah.
It just kills in the fuel system.
It does.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that. And cars can handle it because they're, it's just a bigger quantity. And the gas doesn't
get... cycle through it more.
Right. And the gas doesn't get... doesn't deteriorate the way it does in a small engine. But in a small engine, in the bowl of the carburetor, that gas evaporates down just a little bit, and then all of a sudden we got this all this oxidation happening in there, and it plugs everything up. And so whenever we, customers will bring in a small engine and see if we can help them get it started, and we often do. And it's always a fuel problem that keeps a small engine from starting. So you're absolutely right. Use fuel stabilizer, and that'll do it for you.
Yeah. I haven't had a problem. Like I say, I have two pieces of power equipment I've never had trouble with.
Right.
And there's some people that have 3 or 4 years with a mower, it doesn't run anymore.
Right. Well, and the other trick is in the fall, when you're done with your lawnmower and your lawnmower gas and all that sort of stuff,
dump it
in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
Before it turns bad.
Yeah. Let
the car burn it up.
All right. Let's go to Vernon Woodbury. Vern, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I've got a 2013 Ford Escape. I bought it in 2014. It seemed fine. And then progressively every year afterwards, it's got a smell in it, and it's almost like it might have been in a flood or something, and there's something rotten in there or something, and I can't find it. I've gone through the carpeting, gone through the seats in the car and everything else, and I can't find the smell. Is there any history of, like, this being carried in the, air conditioning system or anything like that? I just can't figure out where it's coming from.
Yeah, two things that happen. One is that a rodent could have gotten in the vehicle and died. Mm. But that's a familiar smell. It's a horrible smell.
Yeah.
But it's a familiar smell. And over time, and not as long a time as you would think, over time that smell will go away as everything dries up. And so it's probably not that if this has been a long-term deal. More likely, it's coming from the heating and air conditioning system. And if that's the case, what it is in this kind of weather like we're having now, everything gets moldy and mildewy, and they make a product that you can spray into your heating and air conditioning system, into the ductwork, and it will actually get in there and kill all the mold and mildew and clean it up and clean up that smell. So that's what I would recommend. If you go buy one of these products, you can get it at any auto parts store and follow the directions. The directions will tell you where to introduce this spray that you spray into the system. And along with that, if your vehicle has a cabin air filter, and it probably does, change that air filter too, because if that has debris that's accumulated on it, that will also get moldy and stinky. So those are the two things that I would do. Spray that spray in there, and also change that cabin filter, and I think you'll find that you have a much better smelling vehicle.
Quick break. We have more with Dan Burns. And, of course, it is our Car Care Show every Saturday morning between 7 and 7:45. Car Care Show. Dan Burns in studio on a Saturday morning. Jack Farrell in his weekly wine chat. Coming up in a few minutes, still time for your calls and texts here at CCO. Let's go to the text line. I have bad radio reception in a 2013 Chevy Impala LTZ with a Bose radio, particularly AM. And that is a major problem.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think that's worse than the air being out if you can't get AM very well. Yeah. So what could be going on?
Well, it's probably the antenna, an antenna problem. And what kind of car do you say it was?
2013 Chevy Impala, so relatively
that's pretty new. Yeah. What we usually find is that, you know, there's an antenna on the vehicle somewhere. I don't know if it's in the roof or sure. Where it is, but there's an antenna somewhere. And usually what we find is some corrosion has gotten into the cable between the cable and the antenna. And so it sometimes requires replacing the cable. Sometimes it requires replacing the antenna. But at any rate, that's probably what's going on. And if you're handy enough, it's actually a pretty easy fix or test. If you want to, you can get a new cable and just plug a new cable into the phone without rerouting it through the whole car and see if that makes a difference. And if it does, then you know that you've got a reception, an antenna problem, and that'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, but good luck with that. We need you to get that fixed.
Yeah.
2014 Ford Escape, every now and then I have to stop, turn the car off, start it again, and then the air conditioner pops on again. Mm-hmm. What could be going on there?
Well, you're rebooting the computer, huh? Isn't that I joke about that in an automobile. If we told people, well, just stop what you're doing and shut it off and turn it back on and it'll be fine, people wouldn't settle for that in a car. And yet with our computers, we do. If our phone quits working, we just shut it off and turn it back on and it starts working. And that's the way it goes. But essentially, that's what's happening is you're resetting something in the air conditioning system. And most cars nowadays have the technology where we can access the computer for the heating and air system. And with what you're describing, there's probably some codes that are stored inside there that we can get, and that'll point us in a direction as to what we need to do to fix the car. But something's going on. There's a switch or a or a sensor or something that's not working right. And hopefully there'll be a code stored for that, and then we'll get after the repair.
From our text line at 651-989-9226, bought a 2019 Hyundai Santa Fe, love the vehicle, but I've never owned a car that feels like it cuts out at a stoplight, then starts again when you take off. I think that's kind of how a golf cart works.
Yeah.
You know, typically they shut down, and then when you hit the pedal, they start up again and go. But
I don't know.
Does the air typically stop? Do all the systems shut down in that case?
Not so much. The car monitors that on a super cold day. Until the vehicle's warmed up, it won't shut down. But that's what they're describing is most cars, but many cars nowadays have the technology that when you come to a stop sign, the engine actually shuts off. And while you're sitting at the stoplight, the engine doesn't run until you take your foot off the brake, and then the engine will start back up and the car will go along just normally. And I personally find it kind of annoying. I like my car to keep running while I'm at the stoplight.
Sure.
But there's a whole bunch of environmental and fuel efficiency reasons that they're building this technology into cars. And the car does monitor all the heating and air and all that sort of stuff. So it won't sit there so long that the vehicle becomes uncomfortable. But that's the way it's built now. And what you're feeling is exactly what you're thinking. The engine is indeed shutting off while you're parked there and then starting as soon as you take your foot off the brake. On most cars, if you don't want that to happen, if you don't want it to actually shut off when you're at the stop sign, if you don't push on the brake pedal quite hard it'll keep running for you.
From our small engine talk that we had, someone said use non-oxygenated gasoline. A lot of filling stations sell that.
They do.
Without the alcohol, that's typically what I do. I put that in the boat and in the small engines.
Right, yeah. You know, the alcohol, just by the chemistry of it and the nature of it, attracts moisture. And if you remember back in the old days when we, in the wintertime in Minnesota, you would always put some heat in your gas tank, and that is exactly what you're doing, is pouring some alcohol in there, because the alcohol will absorb the moisture and burn it out of there. But on gas stored in your small engine, it has some alcohol in there, and it attracts moisture from the air over time. And, of course, that creates a problem. When you start to get moisture in your gas, then you have trouble.
Are you aware of a website from our text line where you can get engine codes? This is GMC 2012 through 2014. Is there anywhere where you can easily look up engine codes, et cetera?
I do it all the time. Yeah. And quite honestly, if you just put the model on a Google search, if you just put the model and the P engine code, you'll come up with miles of information, to more information than you can handle.
But, a lot of comments, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I always say it's enough information to scare you, and then you come running to Lloyd's Automotive. So that's the good news. But it's very, very easy to find. There's tons of information out there, but be careful with the information that you get, because sometimes it'll lead you down the wrong road.
As far as coolant, here's an 07 GMC Yukon. Looked low on coolant. It seemed to be really dark and smell bad. They added coolant. Is there something they should be concerned? Does the system need to be flushed? What do you think if the coolant's dark and smells unusual?
I think that's a good idea, that it probably does need to be flushed. And if you check your maintenance schedule, perhaps you found that you're even late on changing it. So, yeah, it's like I say so often, if it doesn't look right, it's probably not. And if it doesn't feel right, you probably should do something about it. And if you're comfortable doing it yourself, that's great. Otherwise, bring it in and get some professional help, get some professional advice, and have it taken care of.
2015 Ford Explorer, I've had to have all four wheel bearings replaced starting when the vehicle was 1 year old. I find this odd, wheel bearings. I mean, what's kind of the rule? Are some vehicles more prone to?
Some vehicles are more prone. You know, a wheel bearing nowadays, they're not. You can't remove them from the vehicle like we did in the old days and lubricate it, clean them and lubricate them and put them back together. We used to call that packing wheel bearings. Now they're sealed, and it's a very common repair. I mean, we do wheel bearings every day at Lloyd's Automotive, but to have all four of your wheel bearings go bad is really bad luck. That's unusual. But I think now you've been through it and you've replaced them with hopefully some better wheel bearings, and they'll last, you know, the life of the car now.
We've got to run, Jack Farrellin, his weekly wine chat coming up. How do people get a hold of you at Lloyd's Automotive, Dan?
Well, you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. You can come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
All right, stay cool. It's going to be a warm week.
Yeah, I am cool, Steve. It's easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Dude.
All right. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue, and our car carries show.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.